Monday, November 10th. Welcome back to Dame and Bruce Plus. That was awful yesterday by the 49ers. I mean, just down 21 to nothing before most people found themselves in their seats at Levi Stadium. That went wrong. That was bad. And here is the deal. Kyle's playing with fire. I mean, he really played with fire yesterday in a way that was almost negligent. Like, what would you say it is you do here, Kyle? You're trying to get to next week in as bad shape as possible, too, because I could not believe that he had Christian McCaffrey, George Kittle, and Mac Jones out in that football game, late in that football game, when there was zero chance that they were going to win that football game. He's got his most important players, you know, guys who officially can not get hurt and think that you're going anywhere in this year at all. And Shanahan is out there just basically saying, yeah, man, I'm going to have totally empty plays going to my most important players. I don't get it. I really do not get it. What are you doing, Kyle? The Rams scored their final touchdown with 5 minutes and 10 seconds to play. At that time, they're up 42-20. 42-20, 5 minutes left. You're done. You're done. What do you symbolically want to fight to the end to show everybody you really care? Well, if you really, really cared about getting into this game, how come I didn't see a hurry-up offense until a hurry-up offense was officially too little too late? Officially too little too late. The time that the 49ers decided, yeah, our hair is in fire, we're going to play fast, it was over. That's how you should have opened up the third quarter. That's how you should have played the entirety of the fourth quarter. You can't, you're not in position in the middle of the third quarter to be pissing away 25, 30 seconds in between each and every play. You are down. You're down multiple scores. Play faster. Kyle's like, no, we're not playing any faster until we're totally out of the game. And now I'm going to play fast and I'm going to play a little bit reckless, because with 5:10 to play in the game and the Rams up 42-20, he's got George Kittle and Christian McCaffrey highly involved in a meaningless drive. Highly involved in a meaningless drive. You got Christian McCaffrey getting two touches with the game over. Then George Kittle makes the hell of a play on that touchdown. But what if he had hurt himself, his knee, further injured that hamstring, hopping on one leg, diving into the end zone, pull an oblique, break a rib, whatever. For the very first time, Kyle Shanahan began his post-game press conference by saying no injuries. But it wasn't like he tried. He tried to get a key player hurt in meaningless football. And that is playing with fire. You want to know what the other equation that Kyle is kind of playing with fire here is? Is Brian Robinson Jr. is officially now starting to run the ball better than Christian McCaffrey. I'm guaranteeing you Brian Robinson Jr. hates that he's a San Francisco 49er. Absolutely hates it. This guy had all the opportunity in the world to be the lead dog in Washington. Now he comes here and look, he says all the right things while also saying, I'm nobody's backup, man. I'm a really good player. You're going to want to get me the rock because I affect football games. And Kyle has treated him like he is a still figuring it out draft pick from Oregon. Kyle is going to lose Brian Robinson Jr. Being prepared to play because he hardly plays, even though he is playing better. You got to get that guy in. I mean, why is he on the team? Why is he not getting more touches on an afternoon where the difference between what he's doing with the football, running with it, and what Christian McCaffrey's doing with the football, running with it, are two totally different things? One guy, it is working. The other guy, not at all. There were four things that I put pregame on my must list. These four things must happen for the Niners to be in this game today, and none of them happened. I mean, just 0-for-4, D. Bruce. Must be a huge day for CMC. Must be a day where that front-running formula is in play. Absolutely in play. You know, I'm going to have the Kyle Shanahan special where you get up by 10 points and then you just sit on that game. That's what I thought they needed to do. The total opposite happened. They were down 21-0. Then I thought, how are you going to have a day where you're successful if both Stafford is throwing it everywhere he wants to and they're running the ball? You're going to have to pick your poison here. You're going to have to make it tough for Stafford to throw the ball, or you're going to have to shut down Kyren Williams or Blake Corum, and neither happened. And then finally, you can't lose the turnover battle today. And it might be a day where you're going to have to steal a possession somehow, some way. That didn't happen either. So everything that I thought had to happen for them to win this game, none of it happened, and it's their worst performance of the year, essentially. I'd also like to congratulate the Rams on playing penalty-free football. That is such a really hard thing to do. Normally, only the Kansas City Chiefs are afforded afternoons like that. But the Rams have a penalty-free football game, and the Niners absolutely got screwed on several calls, but they could have been screwed on twice the amount of calls, and it still wouldn't have gotten them back in the game. I mean, they were beaten by a better football team. And unfortunately for the Niners, the reality is they're in bad shape. They did not improve their own shape. So you're kind of are who you are. And who you are is also in the NFC West, surrounded by two of the best teams in the NFC. And that has come into focus. It is crystal clear now that the Rams are very, very good. As a matter of fact, Mike Sando wants you to know that the Rams are the only team in the NFL to be top five in both offensive and defensive EPA per play right now. Only team top five every single play. Gets us closer to scoring. Every single defensive play prevents you from scoring. Only team in the top five in both categories right now. Seattle, Josh Dubow had this little nugget for us. Seattle became, they've scored 31 points in the first half three times in their last seven games. Previously, they had done that three times in the last 331 games, playoffs included. So Seattle's got a defense. Seattle's got an offense. Seattle is playing really, really well. Rams got a defense. Rams got an offense. They are playing really, really well. Neither the Rams nor the Seahawks are particularly hurt in any one specific category, while the 49ers are hurt in all categories, specific and general. I mean, it's crazy. It's a good day to be pissed off at the Niners. You want to be pissed off at them today? You go right ahead. I'm not going to begrudge you that. Here's the crazy thing. I think they're about to go 4-0. This schedule is the thing that keeps them in this conversation. At Arizona will be tough. Carolina, Monday Night Football at Cleveland versus Tennessee. That should be worst-case scenario, 3-1. Even as they are built. And as they are built right now with Mac Jones, I'm not taking Mac Jones off the field. I am not. We'll get into all of that in a second. But again, thank you for being here today. It's going to be an interesting week. I just found out, wasn't even really paying attention. Tomorrow being Veterans Day means both boys are off school. Jillian's got a busy work day. So I am going to be on dad duty. No 11 a.m. show Tuesday on veterans duty. I got two boys. We're going to be in a playground. It will be good times. The rest of this week, though, going to be getting you ready for a must-win now game in the division. Let's go. I mean, you don't want to lay down and die to Arizona. You don't want that to happen. Arizona will play the Niners tough because they always do. Bend, don't break. Against the Rams became bent and broke. Can they get back to don't break against Arizona? I mean, it's hardly print the t-shirts. It's hardly a bumper sticker that any football fan wants you to know. My defense is known as the bend don't break defense. But that is who they are. That is what they are. That is what they will remain pretty much the rest of the year. Carl, the Rams are a fucking problem. Seahawks, too. It's a good thing you got that Week 5 win in your pocket because the Rams came out better and focused. No doubt about that. By the way, I want you to be better and focused on lunchtime today than you've been all last week. This guy right here. Ike of Ike Sandwiches will help you focus on your sandwich needs. You will never be playing next sandwich up football lunch at Ike's. He has a starter at every position. He's got a Pro Bowler in every category. Get yourself to Ike's and sign yourself up for that Love Rewards program. You get a free sandwich when you do that. Prizes with every purchase, chips, drinks, all on the table. Check it out. Sign up for that Love Rewards app over at Ike's. You'll be happy that you did. I want you to get to the Dubliner. Warriors have a very interesting 6-game road trip coming up. You can't go to Chase Center to watch the Warriors in their next 6 games. Go to the Dubliner. Get to the Dubliner for your favorite NBA games, your favorite football games, little Monday night football. We got Eagles. We got Packers tonight. Get to the Dubliner. Say hi to Kenny and John for me. And you can bring an Ike sandwich in there. They're going to be like, great, pull up. Have a good one. I have not had a good week on Sleeper. I thought I handicapped the game right. And let me tell you, I did. Because that free Stafford pick came home early, obviously. Brian Robinson, over 14.5. T. Higbee, over 17.5. Those were easy legs in my parlay. I thought Eddie Pinheiro, 2 field goals. That's going to happen. But when you fall down 21-0, you quickly stop playing field goal football. So that didn't happen. And damn it. Let me tell you, though, I'm always responsible when I'm on Sleeper. I want you to be responsible on Sleeper, too. And when you lose, it's no big deal. And when you win, it's fun. Check out Sleeper. It really is the best user interface. You can build your own props, and hopefully you build them better than I do. You can get a $100 deposit match when you use promo code Damon on the link that is in the top of the description of this very live stream and video that you're watching right now. Thank you to Sleeper. Thanks to all of you. Thanks to my good people. Thanks to Ike's. Thanks to the Dubliner, and thanks to you guys for subscribing. We are on our way to 48,500, which is going to leave us 1,500 subs, shy of 50,000. We're going to have to start getting really aggressive here, folks, if we're going to get to 50,000 by the bye week. But I don't want to see Brock Purdy before the bye week. I think they need to leave it at Mac. Go back to the Mac, man. Mac Jones has been fantastic. Why wouldn't you stick with Mac Jones as things are currently playing out in front of you? Why has Mac Jones given you a reason to take him off the football field? Look what he just did this last weekend. As everything was going wrong, guess what was going right? Mac Jones. Mac Jones was 33 of 39 for 319 yards and 3 touchdowns. He's playing great football, accurate football. Becomes the third 49er quarterback to complete 30 or more passes with a completion percentage of 80 or higher. Only Steve Young, 1 game. Jeff Garcia, 1 game, has ever done that for the 49ers. He's the third quarterback to ever do that. Jones's 84.6 completion percentage on the day is tied for the second highest completion percentage of his career. He is playing great football. He's been outstanding. Truly outstanding. Leave him in there. You can buy 4-5 weeks of rest for Brock right now. Another month plus. What could possibly be better for Turf Toe than 5 more weeks of rest? And let's really use those weeks of rest where Brock is not out practicing on a limited basis. He's practicing on an ain't practicing basis. Put your foot on the ottoman. Sit your butt down. This is a pina colada. Drink it. That tastes like coconut and rum, doesn't it? You want a little lime in there? Let's stop asking Brock Purdy to go through the motions when no motion is probably the best thing for him. And don't tell me the 49ers know more about injuries than I do at this point. They've got no evidence to back that up, and I got the receipts to tell you that they don't know jack shit about preventing injuries, not causing injuries. You guys get guys hurt in practice. 3 of them hurt in practice this week. Alfred Collins was not hurt until Thursday in practice. And he got hurt, and now he can't play. What the fuck are you guys doing in practice? Are you running Ford trucks at each other? I guess it would be, what, Nissans? Or what's Purdy's a Toyota guy. What do you get running over your team with Toyota trucks in practice? How about this? Walkthroughs, patty cake, shells only. What are you going 100% in practice in week 10 in the NFL for? Is anybody doing that? I bet you the team that is doing that isn't at next man up at basically every spot on the depth chart. Here's a Rorschach test. Did Juwan Jennings have a good game or not yesterday? How do you handicap that? Was that a good game for Juwan Jennings? Juwan Jennings had 6 catches, 71 yards, and a touchdown. He also had a big drop. He might have been pass interfered. There might have been pass interference on that play. He had a huge fumble that helped kill any momentum of early success in that game. I'm over Juwan Jennings. I really am. It would be great if he could play well. I don't know. I'm just that guy is just a dude. How come you can't get what you get out of Juwan Jennings from DeMarcus Robinson or Sky Moore or Marquez Valdez-Scantling when he was here? How come you can't get anybody up to play who isn't just a guy? It's because you draft poorly. And again, I'm not just going to sit around and kick the Niners in the dick all show long, but I hate how Kyle doesn't go to hurry-up offense when a game is screaming for hurry-up offense. I hate how Kyle left his really important players in a game when they should have been out of the game. And I just think it's easy to identify now that Kyle Shanahan's worst enemy is Kyle Shanahan, the general manager, and John Lynch, the accomplice. Now, when you're undoing yourself, how do you get separated from yourself? I know how I break up Jack and Ozzie. I put one in one room, the other in the other room, and now the two boys are separated. How does one get separated from himself or his own bad decisions? I'm going to be a little harsh here. You could say, well, you could extend it out to maybe a couple more guys. But even if you could, that's just a couple more guys now over like a decade's worth of work. The two best players that this team has had during the Shanahan-John Lynch regime have been Christian McCaffrey and Trent Williams. Now, they get all the credit in the world for trading those guys, but those guys showed up as fully finished products, basically, that they picked up at SFO and put into their puzzle with almost no coaching needing to be done. Christian McCaffrey, because he went to Stanford, took to this team like, you know, a duck to water, and that was an easy assimilation. He's brilliant. He's a Hall of Famer. He's incredible. I bet you he would have fit in just about anywhere. Same thing with Trent Williams. Trent Williams is one of the best left tackles football has ever known. So when he showed up, it was pretty expected that he would be good, and he was. He remains all right as he's getting older for sure. But CMC and Trent are the two best players that they've had, and I really don't think that they get much credit for either of them outside of trading for them. They get credit for George Kittle, who will go to the Hall of Fame. They get credit for Fred Warner, who I think will go to the Hall of Fame. I do not give them credit for drafting Nick Bosa. My mother could have drafted Nick Bosa. That you get no credit at all. That was easy. Of course you're taking Nick Bosa. I like D'Amador Lenore. I like Renardo Green. If he could stay healthier, I probably would like Ricky Pearsall. I like Dominic Pooney. Don't quite love him as much as I did last year. Everybody else is Arden Key. There isn't a single young player identified or drafted by this team that you can say, that guy's a cornerstone player a year from now, 2 years from now. You're building it all around him. That the next generation of great 49ers has not been identified. the next, the young players that this team is going to depend on 18 months from now, I'm not even sure they're on this team. That's a problem. Kyle Shanahan, the coach, can be a frustrating guy at times. But I can work my way through that frustration knowing that there is gold somewhere still in this mine to be extracted from Kyle Shanahan, the coach. Kyle Shanahan, the general manager, Kyle Shanahan, the personnel director, I am over that guy. And I think that there is enough evidence to where Kyle should be over that guy too. The Rams went all in on immediate satisfaction. The fuck them picks, trade for Stafford. It's going to be a one and done Super Bowl. And they mission accomplished that. But now it doesn't look like one and done. It looks like not only did they get that, pushed it all into the middle moment, but they're very much in this hand too. And they've done that with the right drafts. Not only did they go all in for immediate satisfaction, they then were somehow, some way able to reload overnight. Look at the Seahawks and how good they are. Don Lynch is definitely no better than the third best general manager in his own division. And there are some coming talent on this Arizona team, which could have John sitting in fourth place. How many players do you have to reach for, trade up for, say, we know better than everybody, and then watch those players not even participate in the upcoming season? Jordan Watkins, we don't know you. Jordan who from Oregon? What's his last? I don't even give a shit anymore. He's unavailable, apparently. Nick Martin was your third-round draft pick. He can't beat out guys who are clearly bums. What is going on? I'd love to tell you CJ West has been great. He hasn't. I like Tatum Bethune. Malik Mustafa? I don't know. Jair Brown? I don't know. Niners got some problems. Their problems are their own making. I think they might win four in a row. Do you feel like you're taking crazy pills? Because I do. I feel like I'm taking crazy pills. I wouldn't begrudge a single 49er fan for feeling like they're taking crazy pills out there. You got to be going nuts. This team's got to be driving you nuts. Yeah, Jordan, I don't give a shit. I mean, Jacob Cowing is the embodiment of 49ers decisions. They thought he was so good, they drafted him. Then he's been so hurt, they can't develop him. He is so representative of a deep threat, but never hits the field, never plays, can't get healthy, can't prove himself, and will probably be out of the league before we've even met him. How many guys have the 49ers drafted that fit that description perfectly? Ty Davis Price, anybody? It's very frustrating. That was a bad day of football. Doesn't look like better days of football are certainly out there for you. I think they might go 3-1 or 4-0 in their next four games. It's weird. Take your crazy pills, sit back, smoke a joint, just chill out and relax. It's the best way to watch this team this year. By the way, I just see it from my man Otis. I guess he and Chef A are talking a little bit about the Warriors. We'll talk about the Warriors too. Buddy Hield hasn't been as good to start this. You want to know what the Warriors' problem is? Is that the two timeline thing? The Warriors don't have a single young player on this team that matters not Pajemski, not really Moody, not really Kuminga. All the young guys that are supposed to represent Quentin Post, I might be better than all of them. They still don't have the next group behind Steph Curry. They're going to run out of Steph Curry before they actually have anybody else. I believe that. And that is going to undo this year. That's a problem. That's a problem. Brandon Pajemski is a solid C plus. You know, Jonathan Kuminga is a solid B minus. Moses Moody, I don't trust him. I like him in some moments. I don't try. I just what it ain't there. It ain't there. It's so obvious. It ain't there. Whatever the Warriors need to be good, they don't have it. They really don't. They got, let's hope Steph Curry, Draymond, and Jimmy Butler stay young forever. That is their best game plan right now. They're undefeated at home. They're about to have a rough six-game roadie, I think. We'll see. The other bit of NBA news, Lenny Wilkins passed away. That's sad. Lenny Wilkins was a true gentleman of the game, and this is one of those, like, look it up, kids. Lenny Wilkins was a hell of a presence in the NBA. He's one of just five human beings who is elected into the Basketball Hall of Fame as both a player and a coach. Lenny Wilkins was a nine-time All-Star who led the NBA in assists twice. Then he goes on to be a player coach for four seasons. I mean, this is, you want to talk about bridging eras. When there was a player coach, Lenny was part of that. He was that with the Sonics. He was that with the Trailblazers. Then he became the Sonics full-time coach, leading them to a championship. And then he stuck around to the point where he had the third most all-time wins. And has been, I think when he retired, he had the most all-time NBA wins when Lenny retired. 1,332 games. Yeah, I think I remember being there for the night that Don Nelson passed Lenny Wilkins. Great, great, great gentleman of the game. It's a shame that he passed away. The other passing away we had of sports significance this weekend was Paul Tagliabue. That is the, you know, NFL commissioner that dominated my life. You know, Pete Rozelle was there in the beginning. I remember Jim McMahon wearing the Rozelle headband in the Super Bowl. Then Pete Rozelle passes away. It becomes Paul Tagliabue for years. And Paul Tagliabue oversaw so many successful moments for the NFL that has turned it into the juggernaut that we see it as today. Stadium construction, expansion, TV rights deals. Moving into a, you know, the first foray into the digital age. Paul Tagliabue was at that moment in time. He was a really good commissioner. Oh, like I was saying, the Warriors this week. Again, they beat the JV Pacers at home. Congratulations. You beat the Pacers this past Sunday. They played, what, without Curry, who, you know, is just not getting over this injury or this illness that he has. It's a six-game road trip. Starting on Tuesday, they play back-to-back at Oklahoma City at San Antonio Spurs. Then, on Friday, they play the San Antonio Spurs again in San Antonio. So, Oklahoma City, they're going to lose that game. I bet you Wembanyama just slaps shit into the fifth row so often that they lose back-to-back games to the Spurs. And you might start the six-game road trip 0-3, and then it's New Orleans, Orlando, Miami after that. Not coming back from this six-game road trip, sub-500, is my dare to the Warriors. Come back 3-3 or 4-2. I freaking dare you. I don't think it's going to happen. What I do think is going to happen is all this foreboding world of gambling that seems to be coming at sports, it's coming. It's coming. There's a locomotive of gambling scandal that is going to hit the American public and sports. And we have more evidence of that over this past weekend, where Guardians pitcher Emmanuel Clase and Luis Ortiz were charged with fraud, conspiracy, and bribery stemming from an alleged scheme to rig individual pitches. We're talking about, I'm not throwing a game. I'm throwing a ball. I have it arranged with gamblers that the first pitch of the third inning will be a ball. And thanks to real live time betting, you can make that specific of a bet. And apparently, you had two major leaguers tanking pitches, not all at bats, but tanking pitches for like $7,000 a Fugazi pitch. This is dropping the bucket money to them. It's amazing what they were standing to make from the risk. And apparently, you know, you got gamblers who are then winning over $450,000 making bets against individual Class A and Ortiz pitches. Like, that's going to set off a red flag. What are you guys, idiots? Yes, they are idiots. Let me tell you what is also, I think, happening behind closed doors when no one is looking in NBA and baseball circles and football circles. It's amazing how football has avoided any scandal so far. When's that going to change? It will. But it's kind of amazing that these players, I think a lot of them are just trying to take care of the boys. Like, there's guys who do get involved with the heaviest of big bettors. How many guys are sitting there basically telling what guys to do in the barbershop? You know, this is my circle of tight friends. And if I can play well and everybody make a little money off my back of playing well, I'll do that for my circle of friends, because loose lips sink ships and nobody in my circle is talking. It's not guys talking to the FBI that is getting these cases to pop up. This is forensic betting analysis. When a bet comes in from an account that was just generated and it's hitting on like 90% accuracy on very obscure bets, like, yeah, we only have this account. His only bet on Emmanuel Class A throwing balls to start the third or fourth inning, and they keep on winning these things. That's how people notice this. And everything is happening online. Everything is attached to a digital footprint, a card. This isn't happening cash over a window in Vegas anymore. There are too many stupid people involved and sloppy people involved for this whole thing not to just blow up badly in the next 18 months. Greedy and stupid. That'll get you caught. And I think it's happening everywhere. And that's it. This is a pissed off Monday, I think, for most Niners fans, and rightfully so. You should be pissed off. That was a bad day of football, a really, really bad day of football. Are you ready for a little today in history? How about this? Today is a great day. There must have been something in the stars that made several black comedians that I grew up watching born today. Happy 69th birthday, Sinbad. Sinbad celebrating a birthday today. He had one of the funniest stand-up specials I ever saw. I think it was called Strictly Business, or was that the name of the movie that he was in? Tommy Davidson, from In Living Color. Tommy Davidson is 62 years old today. He was hysterical. Did one of the funniest stand-up specials I ever saw when I was in high school. Tracy Morgan, 57 years old today. Like, you know, I'm not a big astrological guy, but when you get Sinbad, Tommy Davidson, and Tracy Morgan all born on the same day, maybe there's something to that. Wally Goggins, baby Billy, Wally Goggins, 54 years old today. The DJ Diplo, 47 years old today, probably too old to be a DJ. When you're 47, you got to shut down the DJ set, right? Miranda Lambert, I believe she's a country western singer. She is 42 years old today. So Sinbad, Tommy Davidson, Tracy Morgan, Wally Goggins, Diplo, Miranda Lambert. Tommy Davidson, a.k.a. Varnell Hill. Exactly. All right. Happy birthday as well to the United States Marine Corps. Obviously, we got Veterans Day coming up tomorrow. Thank you to everyone who has served. If you served in the Marines, thank you doubly. That's a group of badasses right there. Today in 1775, the United States Marine Corps was born. Today in 1885, the world's first motorcycle designed by Gottlieb Daimler made its first announced test run. How about that? Daimler Chrysler. You want to talk about one of the all-time mechanics and engineers in the history of building engines and shit? That Gottlieb Daimler guy was pretty damn good at it. 1951, the first direct dial coast-to-coast telephone call in North America, as Mayor Leslie Denning of Inglewood, New Jersey, called Mayor Frank Osborne in Alameda, California. How about that? The very first continuously, this thing is hooked up, I can call you directly across the country, was from New Jersey to Alameda. Bay Area, baby. Today in 1969, a very big event happened in my lifetime, in my childhood, in your lifetime, in your childhood, into all subsequent childhoods since. Today in 1969, Sesame Street hit the air. Come and play. Everything is A-OK. Freaking love Sesame Street. There is a documentary about Sesame Street that I saw recently that was outstanding. It was like either a Jim Henson documentary or a Sesame Street documentary. It was great. Today in 1974, you want to talk about, hey, how about the Bay Area leading the charge on all fronts of technology and science and all that stuff? Today in 1974, the discovery of the charmed quark subatomic particle was announced simultaneously with the Slack Berkeley Labs, the Stanford Linear Accelerator, and the dorks at MIT all the way in Brookhaven National Laboratory. Do you realize the amount of thinking power that you have in a room when you get Berkeley, Stanford, and MIT all together dorking out as hard as humanly possible? That's how you discover shit like quark particles. What good is quark? What good is quark? I mean, you put it back in the wine bottle, but you could still get quarked wine. Is that what they, something else? I don't know. Andy Reid won Super Bowls after he quit the GM job. Jonas Jomir Johansson, just putting all kinds of kroners in there, 300 of them. Thank you, Jonas. And let me tell you, you're the only one who dropped a super off today. Thank you for putting it in the ganja jar. Kroners go in the ganja jar. Yeah, it's time for Kyle to do less everything that isn't coaching. There's no doubt in my mind. His draft picks have betrayed him. He and John Lynch have gotten too much shit wrong. Look how good they are right now in spite of how much shit they got wrong. That is a testament to coaching. How much easier would this coaching be if they had better players to coach? The reason why they don't have those players is because the two guys who are in charge of all the game day stuff are in charge of the entire roster, and it's really just not working. And it's not working in real time once again with another draft class where you're going out of your way to hand select guys you think are going to be part of the present and the future, and they can't even get on the field, and it's week 10. With injuries everywhere, if ever saloon doors were blown open to show me what you got in your depth chart, that opportunity has been here and they can't even do it now. Today in 1975, on the big lake they call Gitche-Gumee, the Edmund Fitzgerald sunk. 729-foot long freighter steaming on Lake Superior went down. It killed all 29 aboard. I'm going to tell you that you need to listen to The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald by Gordon Lightfoot today. It's one of the single greatest stories ever told in a song. It is craftsmanship of the first degree in terms of lyrics, prose, song construction. The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, Gordon Lightfoot. Listen to it when this show ends. It's a perfect song. It's perfect. I'm not saying I'm glad that the Edmund Fitzgerald went down, but I am glad that we have that song. Today in 1977, The Incredible Hulk premiered. Bill Bixby, David Banner, and oh, by the way, they called him David Banner because they thought the name Bruce was a little too gay. Which, as someone whose last name is Bruce, I'm telling you, you don't know. But, I got to admit, Bruce as a last name does sound less gay than Bruce as a first name. And I don't know, it's because you just come out of it at the end of it. It's just, I'll admit it, but I think they could have gone with Bruce Banner, Incredible Hulk, Lou Ferrigno. I mean, we're all watching a jack dude running around painted green. Technically a little gay to begin with, right? Today in 1983, Bill Gates said, "What do you think of this?" And he pointed at Windows 1.0. You want to talk about a moment that changed the world? The first launch of Windows? Boom. There you go. Talk about moments of childhood that mattered. I'm sure this mattered to an awful lot of you. I never particularly liked the movie. But today, in 1990, Home Alone, John Hughes' masterpiece, right? Macaulay Culkin had its world premiere. It would become a big deal. Today in 1997, and I do remember this because this is right when I was entering the workforce and everybody that I knew was graduating from college and entering the workforce, and the WorldCom MCI Communication announced a $37 billion merger to become Verizon. And the only thing that I know now is that there are basically now 10 companies left in America and none of them are working on our behalf. So good luck, everybody. Good luck. Thank you so much for tuning in today. How about Barry Ford coming in? And he's like, "Oh, ganja jar, you need that sprinkled?" He bang bangs that in there. Thank you very, very much. Really, really appreciate you. Appreciate everybody. Hit like and subscribe if you would please. Thank you very, very much. And we'll be back on Wednesday at 11 a.m. because I got boys home from school tomorrow, so I'm going full dad duty on Veterans Day. I'll be earning my sergeant stripes tomorrow. Thank you to everyone, though, who tuned in. Thanks to everyone who served in our armed forces. Thank you to all of you for watching, and thanks to the Niners for the never-relenting content. If you are going crazy watching the Niners this year, I don't blame you at all. They're a crazy football team. Luckily, we all get to do it together. And that's what I do like about all this. Thank you for watching, and please do remember that sports don't build character. They reveal it, and like that, he's gone.